Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Show. You are listening to the voice of Jesse Liz coming from to you live from my sunny studio in California. And the craziest shit happened. The motherfucker is actually supposed to be doing this part. He's actually here today. my co-host, you know what I'm saying, my bro from another mother, Jeremy Bearden, a.k.a. J to the Boogie, a.k.a. my white friends will beat you the fuck up, is here. We finally are at full strength at the beginning of the show. But yeah. Sorry, people. We were talking about something before the show started, and we're just going to continue talking because that's what the fuck we do around here. So Ying Ling, Black and Tan. Where do I usually find some shit like that?
I get it at my grocery store. You can find it at gas stations sometimes, but Yinglings, and I like the regular Yinglings too. That's what I got started on, but these Black and Tans have come out, and man, I like them so much better. And we got a Food City around the corner, and they're usually, in a 16 ounce cans, 10 for 10 bucks. So it's like, yeah, that's a bet. Let me grab 10 of them things real quick. Yeah, so I like them Black and Tans and Fireball. But I am a slight connoisseur. I mean, right now I'm drinking a Stella Artois. Fucking fancy.
Okay.
A beer that a buddy of mine
fancy.
Him left over here at the house and said I could have. So I happen to be out of my Black and Tans right now, so I'm drinking one of his.
Hey, teamwork makes the dream work.
Cool. Yeah, thank you, my buddy.
So
Luke,
is it kind of big like a Guinness? Say that one more time.
It's definitely not Guinness. Guinness is a thicker beer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's not as thick as Guinness, but it's not as watery as like a Bud Light. No disrespect to Bud Light.
Okay.
I drank that for years and years and years and years until I graduated to Yingling. So no disrespect to them. Good company. It's a good product. I like it. Just don't drink it that much no more.
You growed up a little bit. That's what that is.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you get older, you get a little more sophisticated. You know, that's all that happened. And then I never drank liquor. And then my family here in Tennessee, you know, people who I call family, the owners and managers of WikiCuriosity Media, who we are incorporated with, They got me on Fireball, and now that's just my shit. Like, I love me some fucking Fireball, which is weird because, like, the candy and stuff like that, and, like, that, what is that, cinnamon gum or whatever. Like, I hated that shit, that big red shit. I hated that shit growing up.
Yeah.
I couldn't fucking stand it, but Fireball, I love that shit. I don't drink
that's
any other liquor.
That's a jam
really.
Right there.
Yeah, I don't usually drink any other liquor unless it's free. You know, somebody's buying me something. Yeah, I don't give a shit. You know, it's usually after a couple. I don't give a fuck what I'm drinking anyway. So,
ain't that a trip? Like, the more you drink, the better the liquor tastes. You ever noticed that phenomenon?
Oh, yeah. Like
that is the weirdest shit.
So I was out one night, me and Danielle, you've talked to my girl before, you know who she is. So we was out one night, and we were out at a place that we used to frequent called Daddy Max. We don't go any longer because they fired all the bartenders that we like. But in one of these nights there with our favorite bartender, and actually voted best bartender in Knoxville 9 or 10 times now, and her name is Kimberly Long. She's absolutely an incredible person. We were there, and I just got a little wild hair up my ass and said, shit, I'm going to drink an LIT. So I had one, and then I had another, and then I had another. And apparently I had several more, but the only thing I fucking remember is waking up in the bed the next day going, what the fuck happened? And she was like, you got fucking trashed. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I only had 4 LITs. She said, 4? Honey, try 9. And you know,
who, me?
Yeah. So, and then, you know, Kim, our bartender, she pours heavy. So it really, if you were gonna calculate, you know, especially the people that she knows and loves.
Right.
So really if you calculated that, it was probably about 14 LITs, you know, if you really spaced it out,
right,
you have a portion of it the way it's supposed to be. And so apparently I was sucking them down in 2 or 3 sips, you know. It was just kind of like, you know, water to me. And then I proceeded to have a 10-minute conversation about Kim and another favorite bartender of ours, Ashley's breasts, and how big they were and how pretty they were, right there with my girlfriend.
It happened.
And I'm really thankful that she still is dating me and allowing me to live at her house, because I would be devastated if I fucked all this up just because I was talking to them too. Now, you know, when she told me about it, I was like, yeah, okay, that does kind of sound like me, because I'm a big titty fan. And so I could see me talking about two very well-endowed women's breasts, you know. So the next day, you know, I'm doing the whole apology thing, and I'm like, I'm messaging Ashley and I'm messaging Kim, and I'm like, I'm very sorry about what happened last night. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, apparently I had, you know, conversation about your breasts and this and that. And they both messaged back like, it's fine. We thought you were fucking hilarious. So it's just, it is what it is.
Hey,
so I stay
from
the LITs now. That's what I do. If I have one, I have one, and that's it. I won't order more than one. So I know my limits.
Don't,
you know, you live
bad.
At work. You know what I'm saying?
If that's the worst of your I got drunk stories, bro, you did good. Like,
yeah,
I promise you. Because I'll tell you like this. I didn't start drinking until I was a junior in college. And it was like literally after me and my like high school sweetheart broke up. And, you know, when you're around, you know, I was football kid, so, you know, scholarship football guy. So I'm actually hanging around the fucking football team. So the first thing these motherfuckers had me is literally 151. And a fucking bottle of fucking Mountain Dew. That's how I learned how to drink. Now, so imagine this is my first time drinking, and that's where they start me with. They don't start me, you know, I don't get a wine cooler. They just went for the jugular. 151, bottle of Sprite, finish this before we get to the bar. Okay. First time ever drinking, first time ever been drunk, first time ever not being in my right mind. As the story goes, which I do not remember ever, and I was a lot more unrefined then than I am now, and we'll just say my ego was at 1,000 and it was warranted. I mean, I was an All-American football player, so I had the right to have an ego, right? But imagine waking up here the next day saying, literally, you were running around the bar, slapping women's asses, saying, where are the fat bitches at? You jumped on the bar and said, I'm only dancing with fat bitches tonight. Where are the fat bitches at? Yeah. Okay. So don't feel, and like that was my first time drinking. Now, second, there's another time. And these are the mild stories. So at this point, I'm learning how to drink. And then I don't know what went on, but I had, you know how sometimes you're just drinking at the crib and you don't plan to go anywhere. So I was just sitting there drinking, playing Madden, you know, just on my own, just minding my business. So at this point, right. You know, I'm like, at least I'm about 85% through my bottle by myself. So I'm pretty outstandingly feeling great about myself at this point. And all I hear is boom, 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 boom on my door, right? Boom, 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 boom. So I'm thinking it's the police, it's the campus police or somebody. So I open the door, and it's like four of my teammates. And they like, get dressed. We going out. I'm like, bro, I'm fucked up. I'm not going nowhere. Like, this is all I need is to get in trouble right now. I mean, I'm not trying to have a repeat of the where's the fat bitches incident. Literally, I say this. So, you know, they get me up. They literally throw me in the shower, tell me to take a shower. You know what I'm saying? They get me dressed. We're going out. We're just having a good time. We're getting out. So, same. Now, mind you, same fucking college bar, right? So, when I get there, this is like right after we had like beat our school's rival that they hadn't beaten like 20 years. We had went to their house and just fucking trampled them. So, you know, at this point, I'm in my little college world, I am somebody special. Everybody loves me. Teachers love me, everybody. So I'm already drunk, mind you, when I got there. I don't know how many free drinks I got when I got there, right? So there's a point where I'm standing against the wall, like literally just trying to, like, you know how when you get to that, when you know you're drunk and it's like, okay, I don't want to do nothing stupid, so I'm just going to position myself somewhere and just try to, like, wait the night out so I can go home. All right, so I'm in that mode. Then all of a sudden, I feel like something, like, hitting my pelvis over and over again, right? And I look down, and there's this girl, and she's just twerking away. Like, and I'm drunk, so I have no clue who this is. No clue at all who this lady is. But she's putting in her best effort. I guess she wanted to impress me. So I look over, and one of my teammates who had came to my room and said, hey, we're going out. You know, we're talking about a guy that's 6'6", 270, 280. I say, hey, and I won't say his name, but I say, hey, bro, I'm drunk. Can you get this girl off me? Bro, I'm fucking, you know how drunk I am. He looks at me and says, I'm drunk too. You're on your own, motherfucker. And just goes back to what he's doing, right? So, literally just left me hanging. So this girl, she's now mind you, I'm too drunk to understand. I just know that there's this girl, this mighty short, big butted girl dancing away. And then I hear about the fight. So as this pursues, so basically I stumble over to the bar because ironically at that time, one of my little side gigs is I was a DJ. It was just easy lunch money. So I tell the owner of the bar, hey, can you get me a cab so I can go home because I'm really drunk and I don't, you know, I can't afford to. And then so as I'm leaving, right now, I didn't find out about none of this until the next day. So I just remember getting in the cab, going back to my apartment, and going to bed, right? Around 8 o'clock in the morning, boom, 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 boom on my door, right? And it was the girl I was well, we'll say we were dating, but we were, yeah, you know. Yeah, but in her opinion, we were dating. So, she's
right.
Pissed. It's
been
over.
There, done that.
I'm never talking to you again. Yeah, it's over. I'm never talking to you again. And, you know, one of your hoes beat me up. Like, one of my hoes? Like, and in my mind, I wanted to be like, forgive me, people. This was a younger time. In my mind, I'm thinking, bitch, you one of my hoes. What are you talking about? Like, I'm just young and cocky at that time, right? So I'm just like, one of my hoes? What are you talking about? Oh. And that's when I found out, like, oh, you think you're my girlfriend. Oh, okay, well, that's new to me. That was news. I didn't know. I wasn't at that meeting. But, okay, if you say so, it was one of those, like, and come to find out, whoever that girl was who was dancing on me, she thought the girl I was dating wasn't worthy of me, so she commenced to beat her ass.
Oh, shit.
And then I got blamed for it. So it's just like, yeah, bro, if all you did was talk about titties, I've incited whole female fights. It's just, I think it's just one of those, that's part of like the growing up process. It's almost like one of your, your initiations of being a man, an American man. Like, you got to have them drunken nights where you just completely fucked off. And you're just like, yeah, I ain't going to do that no more. But then you find yourself, yeah, damn, I did it again.
But, you know, the problem with that is, the problem with that is, for me, like, that wasn't like a long time ago when I was younger and dumber. That was a year ago.
Exactly. That was a long time ago when you were younger. That's a year ago. That's still, hey, you were younger then and dumber then, obviously, because you're smarter now. We don't own it. See, bro, we own it all the way around. Yeah, we own it. Yeah, we get to own it. We never have to grow up. We own it. Nah, that was a year ago. Yeah, I was in a different place at that time. I had some things I still had to learn, you know.
Nine LITs will put you in a different fucking place. I promise you that.
Oh, yeah. But I just don't like not being, I can't afford not to be in control. I mean, because even though I don't carry it, like, my temperament, my real temperament is very volatile, so I can't even afford to, and I noticed that. I mean, because I come from a family of very strong, no, they just don't take no shit type of men, down to even my own grandfather I'll say it like this. My grandfather's the type of man that will slap the shit out of you to this day at 80-something. That's the kind of stock I come from. So I can't afford to be like in a situation where I'm erratic, because it's like I don't ever. My biggest fear is waking up handcuffed to a goddamn hospital bed. That's always my biggest fear. So that's, I don't know why, but that's out of all the things to be afraid of. Because you know, if you wake up handcuffed to a hospital bed, bro, it's over. You fucked up. You're done. Because you are done. I don't know what you did, but just expect to do some time, because why else would you be handcuffed to a hospital bed?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't get, like, I soberly walk around with, like, a wish a motherfucker would attitude, but when I'm drunk, I'm not necessarily like that. Like, I'm more of a, oh, my God, I fucking love you so fucking much. I fucking love you.
Right.
You're amazing. And that's, I get more lovey-dovey when I get fucking tatered.
Hey, I'll take that over the dude that thinks he's freaking He-Man any day.
Yeah, so, I'm worse than an ugly drunk. As far as my volatility goes. I'm a lot worse when I'm sober. When I'm chilling and laid back, I don't want to fight, man. Like, I'm just here drinking, you know. So, unless I'm provoked,
right,
you know. So, when I'm provoked, that's a different fucking story.
I think that's for all of us in that one. But I know for me, I had like a moment, like when my brother was killed. Like, I went through this phase where basically I was an alcoholic for a minute, because that was my coping mechanism, and that's really why it's not that I don't drink, but I selectively drink now, because, and it's one of those, and it was a weird thing, because it was my first time experiencing somewhat what it feels like to have an addiction, because I didn't realize that I was using it to cope, based on the, because I was in a lot of weird-ass environments that I normally wouldn't have been in, because just emotionally I was all over the place, because I was mourning, I was really grieving the death of my baby brother, and
right.
So it's a... It's weird, you know what I'm saying? So there would be, so I, you, for me, it's more of, I realize, like, especially when, if I'm drunk, I'm not as, like, strategic it's almost like I become transparent like a motherfucker. Like, I'm really going to say, you know what, I never liked your fucking ass. You know that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm that guy. Like, this is how I really feel about you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, you lucky I'm cool with you, because I would have fucked your, you know, I'm like one of them type of dudes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. My inside voice becomes my outside voice. And then it's just like, yeah, technically that's how, because for me, it's not that I was drunk. It's like, no, that's how I really felt. It just happened to slip out. I was never going to tell you, but this is out in the open now. Like, yeah, it's it's just easier to you know, be the smartest person in the room at times, unless I'm just in a place where, you know, I'm around people I trust that will can check me, even if I'm not sober. Like, bro, you're stepping over that line. Come on, man, tighten up. Like, so that's what I try to do if I do decide to partake in the liqueurs.
Right.
Go ahead.
You know, go ahead.
No, I said it looks like our guest has checked into the building. So let's announce him and bring him on. So No By Note Radio Show fans, this gentleman is actually another artist that I met while I was touring. One of the things that I've always appreciated and respected about him is, as an artist, I always felt like there was a genuine mutual respect that he showed me personally as appreciating what I did as an artist. And that means a lot. I mean, you may not realize it as an artist until you experience the downside of the politics of the music business. Because the environment I was in when I met him was one of those where, ironically, it was a rap community, but I was the black guy in the mix and probably one of the only ones. So you can see where there would be certain biases, right? And it was cool to find someone that was just genuinely like a fan, but a respectable fan. And he makes really dope music himself. And outside of my personal opinion of appreciating him, I, as an artist, I appreciate his uniqueness and his own, because he really does have his own lane, and that's his lane, and he's doing what he's doing, and he's one of the few cats that I've met along the way that genuinely never really gave a damn what everybody else was doing. And I love that, because that means he's just trying to create his own shit and try to find his own lane. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Elair to the Note By Note Radio Show.
My guy.
Yo.
Good, bro.
What's good with you, man? How you
been? What an introduction, man. I appreciate that. And all that shit's spot on,
hey,
man. Nothing but mad love for you from the jump. And it's always been dope to see you since. So that's dope to hear, man.
Hey. So here is the particulars of this platform that you're on. This is a safe space for you. You can say what you want to say. We created this platform so you could really tell your story in your own words. So don't feel like you got to hold your tongue on anything. Okay.
Awesome.
Please introduce yourself to our listeners, because this is probably the first time a lot of them are hearing you.
Yeah. My name's Alair. I'm born and raised from the sticks in Missoula, Montana. been making hip hop music. I mean, I've been making it professionally, I'd say, for about 8 years and performing and all that. Been writing music since middle school, playing piano since I was like 6, playing the drums since I was 7. All that's kind of correlated to where I'm at today. And yeah, I'm just out here trying to do my own thing and eventually make a name for somebody coming from Montana, which is the last place most people think any sort of hip-hop artist going to be coming from.
It's a lot of y'all.
Yeah, just
truthfully, it's a lot of artists in Montana.
Yeah, it's actually
right.
Made quite a big jump in the amount of artists in the last few years, even. It's pretty dope to see.
But you're right. I never really thought about how much talent is in Montana. That's true. There is a lot of artists.
Yeah, man.
It's the thing,
it's gone a long way
to
too. Right. It's gone a long way too. I mean, still, you know, a lot of people don't think that there are people making, especially rap music, coming out of Montana. But you know, eventually here, it might make some waves, and I'm trying to be on the front run of that.
I can dig it. Well, I'll say, in my opinion, And my co-host will tell you, if anybody who knows me, I don't pass around compliments very often. I'm very critical when it comes to hip-hop. But I will say, and this is for our listeners, you're going to hear the story of a very elite artist, in my opinion. Because of, one, where he does come from. And just to survive that, like, that desolate situation where stereotypically you would assume talent doesn't come from there. And
right.
To create like to create an actual genuine lane, not create a gimmick of a lane or
right.
be about just pimping the culture because you fucking can.
Right.
That's one thing I'll say. In a lot of areas, there's a lot of artists like that aren't genuinely in it because they just love to do what they do. And how crazy as it sounds, I fucked around and made some money doing it. You find very few of them like that. And I think 90% of the guests we've had this year are in that same boat. So I'm giving this man my cosign of his music is worth listening to.
Oh my God, I appreciate that very much, man.
You see what I'm saying? Because I do want to talk about how hard it is to come from where you are from, especially with the odds against you, in a way.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get into that. You know, I don't want to get too depressing, but I think people need to know how hard you've had to fucking work to get to where you are now.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's not a joke. It's definitely hard to get shit heard, get shit seen, get some sort of traction by any means from over here. It really is. But it's made me better along the way, you know what I mean? Shit.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I've been watching. I mean, I've been, you know, in my own little corner. But I'll say this. I see you, motherfucker. I see what the fuck you've been up to. I see you slowly but surely like maneuvering, throwing your weight around. I appreciate that because it's dope for me because I can say, well, I knew this guy. Like, me and this guy were literally in the minor leagues together. So I knew this guy when he wasn't shit. And it's cool to see that, like cats that I know, like, kicking ass, you know, because you really can't say, like, I actually know that motherfucker. Like, if I seen him, he would say what's up to me. Usually it's like you know that person through a person.
100%, man.
So 100%. Well, let's do this. If you could explain your music, right, and, like, because no one's actually – we're going to play your music, but to this point I would think – I would hope some of our listeners have heard of you, but being that they haven't, tell them, explain to them what your music is.
Yeah. As you touched on a little earlier, I really do try to take pride in, like, kind of making my own lane, per se. Like, I I've been rapping ever since, and I can remember, and I one day picked up singing along with that. I was shy as a motherfucker to do it, but somebody told me I was good, and I felt like I was good enough to rock it one day, and I just kept elevating that game and eventually kind of made the hybrid of, you know, real hip-hop lyrics that I came from and I loved ever since I was a kid, to that kind of new wave sound that people like, but with a little mix on it with some bars and fast raps mixed with some singing, and just a little different, you know, a little something unique that's not, you know, everyday, the everyday shit everybody's listening to. So I'd say it's a little bit more like a, I don't know, like, you know, a little bit of uniqueness, just kind of wavy. I don't know. And it's all over the place, really.
Oh,
I mean, I got everything from, you know, some deep, real shit to some high energy, like, club vibes. And it's just really whatever I'm feeling. And I hope for other people to feel it too. Just feel good while listening to it. Feel some feelings or feel some sort of thing, because feeling anything is the one of the perks of life, you know?
Yeah, true. True. I was watching, it's funny that you say that. So I got into this show on, and if you've never watched it, it's actually kind of cool because it's called The Warrior. It's on HBO Max if you have the app. No, I don't work for them, but HBO, hey, we need some sponsors. But and it's based on the memoirs of Bruce Lee about when he came over from China and when he landed in San Francisco and all the things that he experienced in that time, you know? So, and there's a saying where they say, be grateful for your pain because it reminds you you're alive.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's like it's a tough saying because it's always when they're fighting and somebody gets their ass beat and it's like, yeah, be thankful that you can still feel it because you could be dead.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's crazy that you said that because I'm like, that really stuck me. And I see like that, especially in this time, it's very profound, like, with everything that's going on for the sensitive 100%. Of a climate we're in. Everybody's fucking numb right now. And if they're not numb, like, emotionally, they're actually going out and doing drugs to make them numb.
Exactly.
So you hit it on the head with that.
Yeah, hey, I couldn't agree more with that.
I lost my co-host. He's somewhere. He's probably looking at titties.
Oh, no.
But I can't wait for his comeback. But so he's gonna have a savvy comeback. What's new for you?
You know, I've been a lot of shit happened for me the last like year and a half, I'd say, or 2 years ever since COVID hit. I've been making a lot of new moves since, you know, us as artists weren't able to make as many moves as we were used to.
Right.
Actually, right before the pandemic shit happened, like I swear I was on my biggest stride for sure. And like I was just beginning to feel like some transcendence coming, and I had like the biggest shows I ever booked. Just played them, had more lined up, had like opportunities to go, had offers to go on two national tours, which I was already booked. I already put in my 2 weeks for my job. Like I was ready to just fucking send it, and everything, like, you know, how it happened in a matter of 3 days just hit and changed everything. It was crazy. And
big facts.
Yeah, I just had to, you know, find some new ways to move and keep doing what I was doing. And I actually, in the last 1 year ago, actually, that's crazy, opened up a studio in Missoula, Montana. One of the only studios out here now. Yeah, it's called New Wave Studio. It's been going very well. We've just been reaching out to artists all over the state. Yeah, that's me, man. Me and a couple other homies, one being like a multimedia guy, so he's our videographer, photographer. We got like green screens set up in here to do shoots. Rent out spaces for podcasts, do recordings, mixing, mastering, all the business, really. So I've been deep in that new endeavor.
That's good that I heard about your studio before I knew it was yours. I mean, because
that's dope too.
That name is really popping. I'm noticing that, and I can hear, you know, I see a lot of the young guys speaking about it, and
that's
crazy.
So dope.
Small fucking world. Yeah, that is good.
Yeah,
man, I'm fucking
crazy,
congratulations,
bro.
And I'm proud of you, bro. Cause that shit ain't
Thank
easy.
You, man.
At all.
Thank you, man. No, it really ain't. It was a head full of stress, that's for sure. But it's been working out, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, So, okay, this changes the direction of the whole interview. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Being an artist that has a, you know, because many artists have, you know, where they record at. Very few of them
right.
have a fully functioning studio, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel like
most people
it's
just
like
chilling
it's
out the
advantage?
Closet, right? yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And so
all I ever knew
okay.
was just like recording out the closet, you know, throw some foam padding up on the wall and can send it. And that's all it's ever been until one day we're just like, let's make this a thing. Cause we started to find like our sound, you know, and a really professional, nice sound. And people were always trying to get in on the recipe. And we just thought, fuck it, let's make it a business, and just kind of went for it. And it's been eye-opening. It's been crazy, man. It's such an advantage, like, because before, you know how it is, like, you artists, when you get studio time booked, not only are you investing money from your day job to go be able to do that, because most
right.
artists ain't making enough money off their music, we both know that, to be able to go fucking
right.
book their studio time. So you got to show up ready to go, right? Like, you on the clock and you're paying
right.
for that. You got to show up
right.
ready to go. There's no, like, second chances, really. And,
right.
like, I'm able to sit on a lot of stuff and kind of cook it up slowly but surely however I want. And, like, I'm chilling in my studio right now. And that's very fortunate to be able to do that.
How do you juggle it? How do you juggle the being an artist and the owner or one of the owners? Because I know there's
yeah.
that weird fine line where the business and the artistry conflicts at times.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, it's hard as hell, honestly, to juggle life as it is for everybody.
yeah.
But just like with
yeah.
the studio, you know, trying to stay up on this, be professional, like, inspire other people coming in here, you know, working hard for them so they're happy, while the whole time, of course, your main goal, you know, is to keep transcending yourself, so you're kind of just sitting on and waiting on whatever you're doing, and trying to find time for that afterwards, and then, you know, working fucking 8 to 5, and then trying to find time for family. It can be a lot, but it's important to try to compartmentalize all that stuff, be able to keep a level head, you know.
Oh shit, we just had our first gem of the show, so let me let you in on the game we play on the Note by Note radio show. I keep saying every week I need to get some kind of fucking bomb to drop or something, but one of the biggest things of this platform is that this is a space where, because, you know, as artists, most of the time we spend time trying to hide information from each other. And then we kind of, it's
yeah.
like the people who know it, they kind of fuck over everybody who doesn't because they know it.
Right.
And then it's almost like, yeah. So what I want to do with this show is we could talk about these things without being afraid, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey. Because what you just mentioned about understanding, the reason I asked you that question, I'm glad you answered it that way, about being able to compartmentalize all the things that come with doing the job. I mean, most
right.
motherfuckers think that being an artist is just going to the studio, rapping, doing shows, getting lit, and that's it. That's all I do, right?
Yep.
But,
so
nah.
true, man.
You know,
listen
so,
to a song, it's
and,
like, hey,
and
yeah,
also,
that's all right. I could probably do that, but it's like you don't even know that half of what went into actually making that one piece right there.
Right, right. And so I'm glad that you brought that up, because also we see guys get on and really, you know, hit the ground running, and then it's almost like they hit a brick wall and they become, well, whatever happened to him? Because
mm-hmm.
they couldn't compartmentalize. Like, okay, rapper me is this guy. My real name is Jeff. Jeff is a whole
right.
other dude that has
right.
whole other shit to deal with. But in real time, Jeff has always been a fucking dork. But rapper dude is, yeah. And you see how those people fall apart, and then we blame the industry. Well, a lot of times, no, you just didn't know that you were going to have to compartmentalize everything that goes on in your life. It's not like you got this great opportunity and your life stopped. It just, no, but that's how we try to say it as we talk about it in music. Like, oh, I don't got to worry about the real life shit. But you realize that, no, my life actually just got harder because I just put another thing on my plate.
Right.
And now I got to juggle. So 100%. That is our first gym. So anytime you drop a gym or I drop a gym, or if you feel like dropping a gym, just disclaimer, this is a gym. This is a cheat code.
Love it.
Because I think we need it because we don't have that community space to really say, like, bro, well, if I was you based on my opinion and what I know, this is what I would do. Take it with you what you will. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely,
so, yeah.
Man.
Have
to get a special buzzer on whenever
you
hear
did it on your own. Yeah, I've been saying that shit for like 6 weeks. I've been like, yeah, I need to get like a bomb or that's a gym or something. I just be like... I just get caught up in the week. Well, shit, since we're talking about traditions of the show, and the reason I'm letting you know the traditions of the show is because you always have a place to come to when you want to release new music. You have a forever membership to the No By Note radio show as long as I'm here. So,
I love that, man.
Next time, yeah, anytime, anything. If you just hey, I need an interview, let me know. But anytime you have any, and that's another thing for this platform, we often don't have, when we do drop new music, we don't really have places to fucking premiere it and things
right.
like that. And I know a lot of guys don't even know they need it. So that goes
yeah.
back to the safe space where we can give cheat codes, you know, when we want to, if we're somebody who wants to share. So that's one of the things I brought with me is like, hey, when you release music, you can't just put it on your fucking Facebook. That's not the correct way to do it.
Yep.
You need to have somewhere,
yeah.
even if it's like your homeboy, if you got a new video, even if it's like your homeboy's website, at least it's not, you got to premiere it something. It's not a premiere. It's like, I got a new movie. Come to my house and watch it. Like, that's not
exactly.
a movie premiere, motherfucker.
Exactly, like, man.
Yeah, so just know that in the back of your mind. If whenever you have anything you need to announce, we are here, and this show is basically, it runs right now, it runs on the West Coast and it runs on the East Coast. So, yeah, the reach is far with us. Yeah.
I appreciate
that.
And
there's no strings
Hell
attached
yeah.
to it, you know what I'm saying? And you know with a lot of these interview situations, it's a, you know, I need a couple dollars under the table because I did you this favor. No,
yep.
like, I mean, this is just a real safe space for us because I don't think we have them. And especially coming out of COVID, it's a lot of motherfuckers that are definitely going to be lost because a lot of shit has changed. So a lot of the tricks you could get away with, you can't get away with no more because they just don't exist for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
100%, man.
Let's go into this. So we're going to get them all out the way. So this is our final tradition that we do here because we're going to play. We're about almost an hour into the show. So we let you pick your first song because this is basically your premiere on the show. So we have Walking on Midnight and Clock Out, Clock In. Which one would you like the people to hear first?
You know, let's go with Walking on Midnight.
Well, you heard the man. This is Walking on Midnight by Lair on the No By No radio show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Walking to the yeah. Walking to the room, me and my song about a radio. Tell you see my head about the 94. Walking to the room, me and my song about a... Some more. can't believe it.
Yes, yes, that was Walking on Midnight by Alert. Welcome back to the No By No Radio Show. If you've been tuned in, thank you. If you just tuned in, where the fuck have you been, bro? Like, you late as shit, man. Come on, man. We're going to stop inviting you to the party if you're going to be late. I like fucking with people. This is really one of my best hobbies right now, because I feel like it's a good space to just unwind I'll say this don't got nothing to do with my boy's interview, but one thing, here's another gem. When
Absolutely,
you start getting to
man.
Certain positions where money is involved, right, there's a certain pressure and stress that comes with that, you know? Yeah, we all want to make money in music, and I'm telling you, I can say I've been blessed to accomplish that, but there's a lot of pressure that comes with that shit too. So this was when this show was offered to me. I don't know where my co-host went. He must be handling some real business, but you know, when he asked me to come on, this was a great outlet for me, because everything was just intense, especially during the pandemic, because everybody was trying to get things done and get music done. Like, a lot of big artists shit needed a lot of writers, and I was blessed to be one of them, but you don't really realize the fucking, like, creative, the stress of the creative pressure that comes with that. Because one thing is, what if you spend all that time working on a project and you don't get one fucking placement? Imagine what that's going to do to your confidence, and then you got to turn around and somehow, like, rebuild your confidence to try to record your own shit.
So
that's why I fuck with y'all, because this is one of the few times I don't have to worry about, you know, should I have told them to fuck off? I mean, because, you know, music motherfuckers are sensitive. Like, it's so many fucking sensitive tough guys in the music game. I don't know where the fuck we got them at, but we seem to got them all.
The big thing.
That's a whole other soapbox. That's a whole other soapbox. But yeah, if you can find yourself just an outlet just to be you, and like be you in real life, bro. That's one thing I can honestly say about myself and a lot of the artists that I feel like that I associate with, that the music them and the person them doesn't have to conflict. Like, they don't live in their image 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of motherfuckers that do. And you're going to fuck around and burn yourself out doing that shit, because you're not living, as crazy as it sounds, you're not living your truth.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
But
I'm so for you
thing,
being able to do this. Because, I mean, it's a big release being able to do this. So I'm stoked for you.
I appreciate you. You know, I mean, it really did open the door for me to give other people a platform, because I got tired of being annoyed with a lot of the things that people get away with, and you know what I'm talking about, like. Certain people, when they have certain powers, they can treat people a certain way because people don't know better. But then one of the things that one of my mentors helped me really grab hold of is, we have a tendency to dive so deep into the shit we don't like that we basically keep that shit alive, instead of like, okay, well, I don't like that. Because the best way to make something go away is to stop talking about it. And so that's part of what this show is for, is like, okay, let's talk about the artists that I do think need to get heard. Let's hopefully give them a home if they need one to push their product. Because I know
absolutely,
I didn't have that
man.
Shit. I had to, you know, I had to run the race. But I wish I had this. And I
check,
hope this
check,
actually
check,
opens the door.
Check.
There you go. Where you been, motherfucker?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't know
my
screen was fucking up.
So this is my co-host, Jerry Bearden. We call him Jay to the Boogie. He actually is the original, the inventor of the No Die No Radio show, and he just kind of let me come in and do my – he didn't kind of let me. He actually welcomed me in and let me you know, add my season into it, and we created this platform together. So the dope thing about me and him is he's a fan. He's just a guy that loves music, so – he's going to ask you questions from just the fan standpoint. And then, you know, me,
yeah.
I'm like you, so we can talk music. And so
pleasure.
Hopefully that leads up to people getting to know you better and really just understanding, because I feel like
come on, bitch.
People need to hear your story. People are going to – they're going to love your music better once they understand your story. So
absolutely,
speaking of your story,
man.
Let's talk about growing up in let's talk about growing up in Missoula, Montana, and you know what's that like, and you know what's the music scene like right now in Missoula, Montana, from your point of view.
I I've been around music my whole life. Luckily, my dad was a big inspiration for getting me going at an early age, so I was blessed for that. And then I later actually lost my pops, and he really pushed me after that. It really pushed me to just keep working and transcending and what I'm doing here. And my point is there was little to none of a hip-hop scene in Montana that I knew of, at least, forever.
Okay.
And it was pretty much dead, but I was always about it. You know, I was always hanging with my friends, rapping every chance I could. All I did was freestyle, thinking I could be the best freestyler, and figured I got humbled by that quickly once I started doing things professionally. But it's, you know how it is. But it's been crazy to see.
Yeah, it's a talent.
Just the unfolding of hip-hop music in a place like Montana, because, I mean, if you haven't been here, then I'm sure your depiction of it has got to be, you know. People ask me if I'm still riding on horses and shit around here, and it's like, damn, I don't know that life. That must have been a minute ago, but it's definitely different. It has its own struggles, you know, and may not be the concrete jungle, but there's aspects of it that is very similar, and it's, you know, there's a lot of pent up struggles, and you know, mentally, with not a lot of as many resources, trying to find your own way to do things. And this music has just given me a big avenue to be able to funnel all of that through and use as a big outlet. So it's been crazy to see in the last like 10 years the amount of artists that have developed in Montana. And now I think it's better than ever. And like, that's why I'm stoked. We got this studio up and running, and we got some of the hottest artists in Montana, like traveling to want to come here to record and be able to release things under us. And it's just been dope. I think it's flourishing right now, and hopefully we'll get some recognition in time.
So you guys have like that Cypher series too, don't you?
Yeah, that was a cool idea we had, to like get some notice, just like hit up all the dope artists around the entire state and just like not charge them at first and just be like, yo, we think you're dope. If you want to come do a Cypher, we'll grab like a few other homies who you probably have never rapped with or don't know that well, and post you up somewhere outside in nature or in some crazy studio setting, and just mic you up and do your thing. And it was so dope and so successful that, like, we've had so many people, even from surrounding states, hit us up to, like, come do a Cypher series, that we're going to have to bring it back probably this summertime. But it was just dope to put new and different artists on, you know, and show them that we're about everybody and not like, tailored to a certain clique or a certain group of people or a certain genre or style or by any means.
So what would you say would be, like, your favorite thing about your career so far? Maybe just a favorite opportunity or a favorite show or something?
Yeah. I haven't mentioned yet, but the most rewarding thing by far, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we started doing this campaign called Healing Through Music. And we took it to schools and were able to, like, go in assemblies of kids, mostly in, like, elementary, middle school, high school, and talk to them about addiction and mental health and all that kind of stuff. And we've been real big on pushing, like, mental health ever since. And it's been, like, a huge outlet I later found for myself, that, because I've always been, like, you know, shove all my shit deep in the bottle, put the cork on top, and don't let that shit bust. And doing these Healing Through Music seminars with kids and, like, seeing people for real, like, be changed after these shows. And, like, coming and talking to me about their own, like, home life struggles that they may be dealing with. And this was really big on, like, reservations are everywhere in Montana, like, native reservations. And there's a lot of, like, really horrible shit that is happening all over reservations around here. And it's been
true.
It's been super rewarding to all these people every single time we go out somewhere, just to, like, because they're all into hip hop. And they all have major struggles financially, emotionally, mentally. And to, like, hear, like, we, you know, we may not be big as fuck yet, but, like, by any means, but just to, like, see somebody doing something that they can resonate with, which is, like, rap, and then telling them about our own selves, our own struggles that, before this shit, I couldn't even tell. I didn't even tell anybody. I didn't even tell my mom, you know. I'm just, like, kept it deep down. And this was a big outlet for me to be able to talk to people. And I found it helping me and at the same time of helping these people and just sharing my story. And I've had so many kids hit me up, and I've kept in contact with them for a long time now. And we have, like, schools wanting us to come back each year. And we're trying to, like, you know, further it and maybe, like, bring, like, a on-the-road little studio set up and show them how to record some music if they want. And I don't know. It's been super rewarding to go to all these places and put on that Healing Through Music stuff to just let everyone know that even if it's not music, to go find some sort of outlet and take care of your mental health, you know.
I'll tell you what, you know, out of all the things that you could have picked, you know, you could have, I mean, I'm sure you got a million, you know, road stories, you know, every artist does, you know, but for lack of a better word, yeah, charity thing, you know, giving back to, you know, especially, you know, kids, you know, for that to be your most, you know, memorable thing and your favorite thing about things. It just really goes to your character and how, you know, humble you are on things. So, like, you know, kudos for you, to you for that, man. Cause that's
really
awesome.
The world.
Cause that's really, I would suspect, I'm not an artist by any means. I'm just a big fan of, you know, all types of music, but to me, gotta be, like, the coolest thing, you know, just it's like to give back and to say that your music or your words or what, you know, like, touch somebody in a certain way. But, you know, that's just, that's amazing, man. So, like again, kudos to you for that.
Oh, thank you, man. That truly means the world. And yeah, I mean, it blew my mind just as much, like, as anybody. Because I mean, I'm sure a lot of us are walking around every day just feeling like an average Joe. Like, my words can't really, you know, how many people's words can really make a difference in your life, or like a big difference, or like, I don't know. I guess it might just be me. I've always felt like, I don't know if I could, you know, if my words are big enough to move somebody like that. Because it'd be hard for me to be moved like that. And it's just been crazy to see how it actually is fucking real right in front of me.
I said this to an artist either last week or the week before, and we were talking about pretty much the same topic about touching, you know, somebody in a certain way, to moving them in a certain way that changes their outlooks on something. You know, maybe they're depressed, maybe they're going through addiction issues, that, you know, to touch somebody in such a hard, you know, raw way that it changes their perspective on things or whatever, and changes their mind
right.
on something, or
right.
Just changes their life in general. You know, I said, you know, really honestly, when you think about it, you know, that's the definition of a hero, you know. You know, because what does a hero do? A hero saves you, you know. A hero changes your life, you know. You know, so that's, you know, that's the kind of, you know, the way I look at it or whatever. So,
wow. That's amazing, man. Thank you. I've never really thought of it like that.
We get deep in the show sometimes.
No, I appreciate that. I'm with it.
And no, it's not just you. That's one of those crazy misconceptions creatives have, because, and this is why I believe it's not just you, and people do need to hear your voice, because something as simple as, hey, you look nice today, can literally keep a stranger from killing themselves that day.
Yeah.
And you would have known it. You were just passing a compliment to someone just because something in your spirit said do that. Right? And so we don't realize how powerful our words are, and we don't realize who is watching us. And I said that same thing, man, ain't nobody gonna care about what I'm doing. You know, like, there's a demand
right.
for a new album from me. And I was just like, man, ain't nobody really gonna care. And it was like, no, bro, like, the fuck, you know, you done? I'm like, no, I'm just not in the space to do what I want to do. And
right.
so you don't realize, no, bro, I need to hear something from you. Whatever it is that you do says something to me that lets me know I'm not crazy. And so now,
right.
bro, like, but it's not you, because I believe that too. Like, why the fuck would they want to hear what I, because why? Why do you really care what I'm saying? But think about it like this. Think about how much time we spend on social media trying to figure out what other people are saying. And if they're saying something,
I know,
about
man. Oh my God!
You know what I mean?
No.
So, shit. So your voice really, really does matter, because there is people that spend time checking their social media, trying to decipher what the fuck you post, and that's how you know your voice matters. I mean, I know there's people out there that do it for me, and shit. To be honest, I'll tell you, I post shit that basically says, if the shoe fits, it's yours. Like, you know, like.
Yeah.
There's no secret diss to nobody. If you fall into that category, that's my point. That's you. Own it. Live it. You feel what I'm saying? But there's people who want to read that because your voice matters to them. So, yeah, you got to something my little brother told me. He told me, you know what? Sometimes you just got to own your shit. Like, I got to stop telling myself that I don't matter.
Right.
I fucking do.
It really is.
Because you know when you don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead. Say what you're saying.
It really is that simple. I mean, it's easier said than done, obviously, but it is just that simple. Own your shit.
Very, 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 very true.
So I'm gonna steal one from Jesse. Because this is something Jesse usually asks, and
you,
now I'm kind of...
You wear my coat, I wear your shoes. You can't steal it from me.
Is there a process, you know, that goes into, you know, your music when you're like, all right, you know, I'm gonna do a song today? Is there some sort of process or ritual that you go through, you know, before you know start writing down bars?
Yeah, absolutely. I think being in the proper headspace is beyond crucial. I've spent a million minutes trying to force shit, you know, and it's like even not just writing, but recording. I think you also need to fit whatever vibe you were in while writing that, while you're in the studio recording that. Otherwise, you're wasting your fucking time or just not giving it its full potential, because you really got to be in the proper headspace. And like, you know, if you're in a rough patch in life or something, like that's a hard thing to reach sometimes. Even like on a vibey sounding song, you know, if I'm having a tough day or a tough time, tough month, tough year, whatever, it's fucking hard to like, it's hard to write to that, you know, something for people to feel good and you to feel good about. It's when all you're in is like a negative headspace, or vice versa, if you're trying to write something that's real heartfelt and you're just not on that wave yet or on that frequency, it's tough. So I think a big part for me is to make sure I'm entering the proper headspace to be able to create that piece.
And that's Jim.
Whether that means,
go ahead.
You know,
I just thought it in there, but go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to say whether that means, like, everyone's got their rituals, whether that means I'm going to light up a joint or fucking crack a brew or take a shot or just sit with my feelings, it's all very essential to the vibe of the song and piece that you're creating, I think.
All things that I've done in the last hour and 8 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. Basically.
My man.
But that you are 100% right. And I'll throw this back at you. Like when you're in that negative space, you're having a rough day, right? The reason why you can't get to that is because at the moment, that's not your story.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's not your truth.
So
in that
you don't
moment.
See it that way. Yeah. So there's no way you're gonna get to that, because that was another bar you dropped because it's true. I think all of us get to go through a phase of forcing shit. I know shit, I forced a whole album one time.
Yeah.
Like literally. It was actually a good album, but I listened to it now, but like, fuck, I could have did this, and I could, like, technically I see what I could have did better. But I forced it out because I had something to prove. And it's a weird thing, because it's an album that, like, people that really cared about my music, you know, they fuck with. And because it's one of them hidden albums that I don't speak of, but, like, that's how I know who my real fans are, because they have that album. It's just like, oh, fuck, I forgot that even existed. But I think that I appreciate you saying that, because we do, as artists, go through a phase, and some of us I don't think ever get out of it, where we're trying to force this thing to work. And because I think some of that is based on, if it's not working, then it obviously means that I suck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, no, there's motherfuckers that actually suck. But I'm talking about people with talent. But, So I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's one of the things that we secretly don't talk about is, you know, you do have, like, there will be days where you got a great-ass idea, but for some reason when you translate that shit into reality, it just doesn't sound the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I hit that a lot. I have these wild ideas in my mind, and it's just like, yeah, well, here, you can have this shit, because when I say it, it sounds soft as fuck, so there you go. Shit, that's part of how I got into writing, because I just knew I couldn't do nothing with it, because it just didn't come out of my mouth the way it was in my mind. So, see, I told you this man has something to say, man. He's talking about shit that is like, was like right in front of my face that you just never think to talk about. So I appreciate you for that.
Well, I appreciate you. I mean, like I said, I'm a corked bottle, bro. I don't say a whole lot to a whole lot of people. So, I mean, this is helping me too. So, I appreciate you, both y'all.
Yeah, people need to know. It's good for your image. People buy your image, bro, especially in this time.
Absolutely.
That's what people are buying. You know, it's just usually the cast with the good image got the gimmick product. So,
hey,
like we just don't think about it. Go ahead.
I think this is a good question. We don't, we've maybe kind of vaguely asked, but what would be like your end game? Like, what would be,
a
point that where like you would say, you know, I if I could just at least do this, I'll be happy. You know, with you know, like, well, I mean, I'm sure you're happy with all your music. I'm just saying, like, if you could, is there a point where, like, you know, if I could just do this, and then you kind of maybe kind of
Absolutely.
Make this kind of money and make this kind of lifestyle right here, shit, I'd be gravy.
Absolutely, man. Success is only how one defines it, right? I mean, I think for me, I've thought a lot about that. Gone on, I've pushed and pushed and fucking pushed from. Living in Montana, not saying that I'm at any sort of disadvantage, but it's definitely been tough. And I've seen a lot of work kind of not go as far as I had envisioned or hoped for it to. So I've thought a lot about that. And I think, honestly, my definition of success for myself in this career is if I'm able and I think this healing through music thing has made it big, made me realize exactly what that is. And that's like, I think I want it to eventually add up to being able to help people. Like, I've even, besides that and like opening this studio, being able to like use all that I've fucking worked my ass off to learn for so long now and give all these younger kids like what I fucking wish that I had when I was their age to be able to help me. Like, I think just being able to be that guy to like help other people, including myself in the process, be a little more eye open to things, that would be very successful for me. And if I could just make enough money, I don't need to be rich. If I could make enough money to make a comfortable living from my music and from being able to help people with it, then that's, I'm gravy.
Hell yeah.
And that is realistic. That is, now, that is the most realistic artist answer, right? It's easy, because the funny thing is, we never talk about the dudes that are, you know, they make $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year doing their music. That is a more realistic goal than being the next Jay-Z.
Right.
You right. know what I'm saying? There's, you know, like.
Yeah, that's a very attainable goal.
Yeah, but we don't speak of it, especially in hip-hop or urban music. We don't speak of it like that. Like, we don't consider the Talib Kweli's and the Mos Defs of the world, the Razzcats of the
right.
world.
Right,
you know, we're still caught up in Kanye and whatever fucking meltdown he's having this month, and him being a billionaire. But we don't, you know, the Royce 5'9", like these guys who have fucking had an illustrious career, and you know, shit, they every time I see them, they got nice shit, so they must, you know, they doing
right.
well for themselves. And,
absolutely, man.
And I feel like that's a more realistic thought process because. It's less
Everyone
pressure,
thinks they're
going
to drop their shit and it goes to the moon, right? Until you're humbled by something
yeah.
at some point. It just doesn't quite work like
right.
that. It'll work your ass off unless you got something big behind you pushing it. It'll work your ass off for that.
Right. But at this point now, if there's something big behind you pushing it, technically it ain't yours no more. You know,
yep.
that's the thing. Like, the freedom is in the independence. If you don't have it, like, having a deal, and I've told you this in the past, having a deal, especially if you want control, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
That's what you're selling away right there, control. You are now a puppet. You are now just the cog on the wheel, And if we can plug you in and make you somebody, great. If we can't, hey, well, you know, you can say you were signed. So, yeah, let's get into your next song. So we got this is Clock Out, Clock In. So give us a backstory on that guy.
Yeah, this one's a little bit more fun. This also was on my latest little EP I put out. Just a little bit different vibes, like that first one, Walking on Midnight, was something totally different than I had ever made, but at the time. But it was a vibe, and this one's a little more of a party vibe. I got a music video coming out to it probably in the next 2 months. It's gonna be fire. It's just real bouncy, light vibe. I mean, hope you feel good listening to it.
Well,
and
the
whole premise of the story is. Sorry, the whole premise of the story and it is basically we all, like, I go to work, I go to my 8-to-5, I clock in for that. As soon as I clock out, I clock in to real life, you know, to what I fucking go to work for. So, I mean,
right.
That's the kind of premise of it.
Hell yeah. I'm down.
Don't threaten you with a good time?
Yeah, for real.
So this is Clock Out, Clock In, Clock By Larry. Stay with us, man. It's the Dope By Dope Radio Show.
For this moment since I woke up in the bed, feeling better from the nightlight. I ain't never petty, I ain't never looking pretty in the morning when I put my light to hold and hit the night fight. I ain't never knowing what I'm doing with my free time, but I'm looking forward to a ring a bell and sleep time. Boy, about a blown, I ain't talk about a fork fight. Looking through a microphone until it's like a sleep time. Whoa, yeah. Got a little dream, go get it, yeah. Got a little cream, no credit, yeah. Got a little green, no let it seem so clean in the flow, won't let it work, yeah. We been waiting all day, yeah. 5 o'clock, I'm zoning, yeah. Light it up, we faded, yeah. Better beat, I'm zoning, and we ain't do it for nobody but the rhythm of my body, and you know I'm gonna let it show out. Grabbing the attention of a daddy, yeah, like got a feeling that we could do the la-di-da-di, oh wow. So you knew the ticket, and we knocking at the door. Gotta go and get it if you really want more. Never did I ever think we gotta keep score, but according to the play, we eating more like, yeah. Clock out to clock in, the sun ain't falling.
Oh,
the night is calling,
oh,
can't fight this feeling.
Come on,
clock out to clock in. The sun ain't falling. The night is calling, can't fight this feeling. A cubicle and what I need. I'ma blow up on the grub, got a dream. I'ma get my own bag, now I got my own place, living at my own pace, like. Can't nobody tell me working the dish, to watch my own bitches, the boy, I made that shit repetitious, I feel. Feel like my whole entire life, my ambition, the sense of the giving, it's going up, gotta go get it for real, yeah. A lot is in my jeans, yeah. Some collar green, yeah. Burning with passion, heart on my sleeve, yeah. Got a history, yeah. On my story, no. Let the ballpoint bleed. Think I found my thing now, yeah. Yeah, I'ma really do my thing. Feel like God, but the king, hold the crown like a crane now. And we ain't do it for the fame, we do it for the game. By the boom, by the bang now, yeah. Making moves, them crucial moves. The team is how we roll. We chasing dreams and big good things. The only thing we know. Clock out to clock in. The sun ain't falling. The night is howling. Can't fight this feeling.
Come on.
Clock out to clock in, the sun ain't falling, the night is falling, can't fight this feeling.
Welcome back to the Note by Note show. That was that was clock out, clock in by Larry. My man said, bada boom, bada bing now. That's just dope. it's funny. Now, I was called, I'm going to keep your stage now. I was called you by your first name. I ain't going to do that. I do that when I see you. But, the crazy thing about Hilaire is this. You see that, like I said, the dude, he does have the capability of being a name. It's like that last song is proof of it.
Oh, yeah.
You meet him, he's such a calm and collected, like, person. He's literally one of the cool, literally his demeanor is just cool. Like, it's like almost like this motherfucker don't nothing faze this motherfucker. He's just the same. 50-50 all the time. Like, every time I've met him, it's always been the same vibe. So it's crazy. And then to hear him say, like, there's certain things, you know, just mentally, just on the mental health tip that, man, you just internalize. And to know, because I always know him as making fun stuff like that. So that's wild to me, you know, to hear, you know, the inner workings of your life and to know, like, wow, like, that's even more amazing to me that you can still make fun shit like that with just – because nothing about you says that. You're just too
right.
Cool. So I would expect you to try to make cool shit, but that's wild how your mind ticks like that. And
thank you, man.
It's
really
to be appreciated.
That.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
I really appreciate that. I'm stoked you dig.
Yeah, man, I was in there. I was sitting in the chair here just like, you know, kind of shoulder dancing the whole damn time that thing was playing. I was like, man, this is all right, man. And even my girl, you know, she's in this, you know, in my studio with me, and she even commented, was like he does some really good music, you know, while the
That's
song was
so
playing there.
So. Thank
you.
That's so
dope to hear. She never listens, you know, I mean, I won't say never, but she hardly ever hears any of the artists I have on the show until they're on the show. So just to have a, you know, initial reaction, you know, just like that, you know, I mean, you know, it could be big, you know.
That's so dope to hear, man. Thank you. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother.
And yeah, that's like you just said, Jesse, that's you hit it right on the head. It's awesome to make fun music for people to vibe and feel good to, you know, and sometimes, you know, everybody doesn't, I don't know, one motherfucker that's feeling happy and vibey or like that all the time. If so, that's all they're showing you and they lying. So, I mean, everybody's
more than likely,
going through
yes.
something. So, I mean, it's hard to find that headspace to be able to make that stuff sometimes, but hopefully, you know, not all the time you're going to be feeling that way, so... That's why it's dope to have a variety of music. But thank you,
I'm
stoked you did.
I mean, I've always, you know, I've always been a fan. Like I said, I appreciate the, because you could throw a rock and hit a rapper. Let's just be real. You could just right now, I think
right.
my shoe, I could throw it out the window and fucking literally, I would hit a rapper. That's. So
you're right.
and not a creative one, just a rapper. So even just to hear just how, like you said, you're nervous about your singing voice, but just to hear like over the years you found a way to lean into it and to believe in it. And maybe you might not want to use it on stage, but just for the fact that you can use it in the studio and make it work, says a lot because it's easy just, especially now that everything is very formulaic and TikTok-y, it's easy just to do that because you know that's going to work. It's going to easily relate. It's going to easily go across. You just got to say the right phrases and use the right beat. So even the fact that you'll take the more pop-type route but not completely sell the fuck out with it.
Right, right.
It says a lot, man, because, you know, There's hey man, this is just with me. This is just me, my story. And then there's, I know, yeah, we get it. We see what you're trying to do. and it's one of those hard things because you know, honesty ain't always the best policy in this day and time. So you can't call a spade. It'd be cool if you could. But, you know, most of the time, people are like, bro, you're not even really – because I feel like most people aren't even actually trying to be an artist. They're just doing it because it's cool. And right. There it is for me.
I agree, man. That's why I have such a large catalog of style of music, because it's whatever I'm feeling, you know. I'm not really trying to please anybody. It's just whatever I'm feeling that day, and I hope that others feel it too.
Who produced that last song?
Me. I did all that one.
Fuck yeah, man.
That's
badass.
I was gonna say,
Thank you, man. You dodgy
motherfucker. That's crafty. Hey.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time the last couple of years, especially opening the studio with working on my engineering and producing and all that with where I've gotten so far.
That's the first time I've honestly asked that question or thought to ask that question. That was cool that it played out that way. But so how do you like that? Is that obviously that's advanced your music, being a, you know, producer / artist.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it, man. It's a whole nother headache to have, you know, while you're doing it. It's a whole lot on your plate, but hard to find time to do all that as well. But it's a lot more rewarding than it was back in the day, just showing up and spitting some bars on the microphone and dipping out and hoping somebody else is going to make it sound nice for you, you know. It's nice to make
a
whole...
Yeah, that always sucks.
Whole piece that you just created off your dome.
That's pretty dope. That's like all that came out of your head.
Thank you, man. For real, I appreciate that.
So did you play all that on the keyboard, or did you bring some guys in to play the strings and things like that?
It was a little bit.
Or did you play them yourself?
It was mostly. It was mostly all my homie and I in here, mostly the keys and NPCs, but there was a couple pieces in that last project I released where I had some homies come in and throw some bass lines down and stuff like that.
That's clean. That's really clean, okay. Here's something else we need to talk about you. You are a very fashionable individual. So, and I think that's something that's slept on about you too. Like you dress yourself, and I can tell you're very meticulous about, you know, what you put on before you step outside, especially when you know you're stepping into a music setting. But that's smart.
Right.
These are just little things I notice about people, you know, because you could tell that, okay, this motherfucker gets it. He gets it. Okay, there's more to that than. So.
You're right, man.
How can I say this? Who are your fashion influences?
You know, I honestly couldn't say. I have no idea. I just, I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, I think I've always been, I used to be like a little kid shoe addict and save up all my money and go buy some fresh J's or something and always just be wanting to have that look, you know. I've always been a big basketball fan. I think it really started with that and just wanted to look like somebody of importance or somebody, you know, people are taken back by when you walk in the room, you know, and I think that just led into my adulthood, and now I just think it's a part of me and look good, feel good.
You do have a very eclectic style. I'm on your Facebook page right now and looking through all these photos, and like it's never like the same thing. Like
right.
It's kind of its own,
and it's all premeditated. That's the catch. It's right, yeah. That's my point. Yeah. When I say he's fashionable, you could when you know, you know. Like it's, that shit's all premeditated. That motherfucker is not just a pretty boy. Yeah, he may like to dress. Nah, I know that insecurity and premeditation because I'm that way. Like I just go about it a different way.
I know you are.
So it's like,
See, I have kind of like one style, you know, like usually it's like black or brown, you know, like a dark colored shirt and some blue jeans and, you know,
right,
a hat. And that's kind of, you know, my style. That's really all I got going for me. You know, every once in a while you'll see me something different. My girlfriend's trying to open me up a little bit, but
that's dope, man.
Like yours, like it's just like, man, it's wild all over the place every single day. It's like boom, 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 boom. And I just, you know.
Yeah, it really is. I can't say that I'm like chasing any sort of look or anything or trying to be super extra. Certainly wouldn't consider myself like, you know, just a pretty boy looking cat. I just, these days, I think I just am trying to find unique and different things that, because it seems like everybody and their mom's doing the same shit these days, and I just don't want to be that. It's going to be a little different with every aspect of the way I move.
Yeah. I mean,
I
like
the
even like,
in your
if
voice
you...
when you said that. I love that, because you should have disgust for being caught up in being a cookie cutter. Like I appreciate the whole disgust for something you know ain't right when it comes to 100%. You know, being an artist.
100%.
So I'm gonna ask about one thing real quick. Sorry, I just wanna ask about one thing real quick. So like even like so like if anybody goes to the Note by Note radio show post about Elayer this week, there's four different pictures, okay? Every single picture is its own different thing. Like the top one, I don't even know how to classify that. I mean, you know, you got this black cat, this, you know, I'm assuming probably some sort of a trench coat, maybe long coat, you know, coat on. All right. Next picture is you with a bandana tied around your head and you sitting on a big ass throne.
Yeah.
You know, just looking thug and gangster as fuck. The next one looks like, I don't know, with the blue jean jacket, you know, that I don't know, maybe some sort of like NSYNC boy band look, you know what I'm saying? I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't want you, I'm not trash talking you right now. And then like the last one is you, and you got, you know, this little ball cap on, a short sleeve shirt, and you look like you could probably be like singing about some country music. Like, so it's very wide ranged, and, you know, it's, I don't know. I just think that's really cool.
Thank you, man. It's it's funny. It's all over the place. I kind of like the funny aspect of it, of embodying different pieces. And a few of those, I actually was laughing when I saw a couple of the pictures that was chosen for that. Like, I fuck with all of them, but it's just funny because there's a lot of my pictures on there are from music video shoots. And I like to embody a whole image for each video,
right,
and just fully send it. And that's what those are right there. And that top one just makes me laugh when you say it, because it's like I was looking like a full bandit. Like that song is actually called Bonnie and Clyde, and I like was embodying that old school
that's awesome
type of style. Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's fun.
So I'm going to give credit where credit is due on that. So I couldn't figure out how to pull those pictures off of your webpage. And so, and the computer over my girlfriend, who's a computer genius, and she actually picked all those pictures out.
Fire. All right.
She's like, do you want any specific ones? And I'm like, no, like just grab, you know, a variety, a few different few, and like, and I wasn't even thinking about it, you know, and, you know, but yeah, it's a variety because, you know, you are a variety, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Not like multiple personality wise, but schizophrenic or anything, but you've got, you've got different looks and different weight and
And I would assume that probably is based on, you know, I mean, besides the music itself, but like your day to day, you know, is this kind of how you're feeling for the day, you know?
Right. Absolutely, man. Well, she killed it finding some pics.
Right, right.
For that credit.
So how does it translate? Like, so how does the creative, because I know that's got to have some influence on your music and vice versa. So how do the two correlate with each other?
In terms of the music and the image?
And your sense of fashion, like, because that's a creative process in itself. And then you have the creative process in your music. And I'm wondering, the question I'm asking is how do they train, like how do they inspire each other?
Right. Well, you know, it's given the song, because I definitely have some songs that are pretty heartfelt and can make you sad if you're in the right headspace for it. And I got some party type songs that can really make you feel good and shit, but it's really just correlates together because it correlates with my style, what I see as my style of music, which is very unique and a bit of a variety of arsenal, you know. And like I said, I'm not trying to be any cookie cutter, and I think the variety, and I try to keep it light and fun while also obviously with all the shit that I do and the events I've put on, like, try to be very real with people and address life and its reality and what it is for everybody, and not like act like I'm this big popping successful artist with all this money and shit, because life is real, and half the people that we watch who look like their life is full of money and they live in their dreams, they're just, I mean, it's just a front most of the time. Everyone's going through some bullshit, and I like to be transparent about that. And I just think the clothes style kind of goes along with the uniqueness of and differentness of my music.
So here's a follow-up question to that, just because you were just talking about it, you know, and your different varieties of music and everything. Do you have a favorite, like, style of your music? Like, do you like to do the party ones better? Do you like to do the more real and, you know, shit that you're going through songs, or?
Yeah, so I would say my favorite is, like, a high energy, good vibe that's, you know, people can bounce to. That's definitely when I'm playing it back, my favorite. And that's kind of like the main jam I go for, is fun, bouncy, you know, people like know around here, if you come to one of our shows, it's going to be a fucking good time. We're just trying to vibe. And, with that being said, a lot of my realer songs with a lot of more like heartfelt lyrics and stuff and just vibes overall, they are more meaningful to me for sure. It's just I guess it's funner for me to hear the high energy kind of party type songs that I got.
Right.
It's just funner. I dig those more. But, like, when I'm by myself and if I'm in a certain mood or anything, you know, like, those more low-key, heartfelt songs are what hit for me. They mean the most, for sure.
Hell yeah, I feel you.
Okay. So, let's have a little fun, because there's always one. If you can, if you're willing to share and allegedly incriminate yourself just a little bit, can you tell us a wild show story or a wild tour story?
Wild show story.
Because I be telling them, like, there's certain shit that happens when you're an artist. Like, I can't make it up. Like, there's just certain things that just we see, like, what the fuck was that? That every artist experiences. that, because most of the time people just go off the stereotype, right? And a lot of times the shit that happens to us is shit like we're just as fucking shocked at the experience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, so there's a story I like to tell about the first time I performed in Ohio, where the bartender basically, she tried to trade me. She basically told me, well, I want this, but I don't have money, but I have other things, so you can let me know what you want. And it was kind of like,
no,
did you just try to sell me pussy for a shirt? Like, it was like one of them things, right? And it was like, I can't make that up, but it was like one of those, what do I do? Like, hey, I don't even know this language. And but you had to be there for it to, like, because it's hard to believe that, like, no, bro, she really was like, I don't want to pay you money. So you got to, you know, but I got other things we could trade. But the fuck
right.
do I do with
right.
that? Like, but yeah, so
oh, you're right, man.
If you're willing to, do you have anything like that you could share with the people?
You know, I'm sure there's a ton that I just, like, for some reason I'm not thinking of, but the just one that came to my mind right now. this happened a couple times, but one time in particular, I was at this show all night, and I was headlining later in the night, and so I was just kind of hanging out and watching the crowd escalate through the night, and you know how people can get more sauced up through the night, so it gets a little more rowdy.
Yeah.
By the time I was up, I was probably halfway through my set, and it was really a good one. Like, it was turning up big time, and had people, and lately, like, the last few years, I've been really taking a big leap in my stage presence and, like, being real high energy, jumping around, and I was just getting the crowd really involved and getting crazy. And I'll just never forget, man, one time I was on stage, it was going very well, and I saw these two chicks who were in the front row trying to, like, they started making out with each other, and then trying to reach up on the stage and grab my junk. And I remember, like, jumping back and just going crazy on stage, but still just being like, what the fuck just happened? And then right behind them, I see, like, a mosh pit breakout and watch these two guys just fight each other. And the security comes busting in, and then this one dude is fighting, like, this guy he was fighting plus two security guards, and no one could fucking – it took, like, five people to grab this person, and he was a massive person, and drag him out of here, and the whole time I just kept jumping around on stage. It was pretty crazy and funny. It's just the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, but that's my point. You can't make that shit up. Like, that's,
no,
that's
yeah,
not
you,
something. Even if you wanted to lie about it, you couldn't make up a lie that good. Like, you just,
yeah.
You couldn't.
Just if you were there, it was like, all this just happened in a minute? Holy shit, how did that happen?
Yeah. And it happened, and the band played on. It's like, what are those? Like, hey, we just... He shot him. We just say, hey, but we had to keep performing. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like the band of the Titanic. The ship's going down, but they're still playing. Fuck it.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah,
the,
like,
part, the show goes on.
I'm trying to get paid. Hey, I got to do four songs, and that's the thing.
Exactly.
We only on two.
The show goes on.
So, outside of music, what would you say one of your hidden talents is?
Outside of music, you know, I have always been an athlete my whole life, and so I still take a lot of pride in that. And I work out every day and really think it's a major part to, like, my mental health, just working out and stuff. So a big talent, I'd say, is just kind of being an athlete on the off time.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot, because you doing it when you have no reason to. And right. Most motherfuckers don't have that discipline. People love lazy more than they like anything else. So,
right. And it's crazy how it's bled into the music career, honestly. Just like I try to stay away from ego as much as I can, but just like the competitive nature, especially with myself, has definitely built a lot onto how I've gotten where I'm at so far in the music industry.
Well, you need it. I mean, that's why having that's why I'm a big fan of bars, of lyricism, because the hardest thing to do is find inspiration. And as they say, you're only as good as the artist you're influenced by or the artist you're around. That was the first, you know, probably the first advice I ever got about music. Like, you're really going to be as good as whoever you surround yourself with. So you got to really ask yourself, who are you trying to be, you know? So, and sometimes, you know, especially since it's such a big world, like, we have to go look for the inspiration. We have, you know, so that alone is you need the competitiveness. Like, because I will say, like, I love it when somebody does something and I'm like, fuck, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah,
that was 100%, that was you know what I'm saying? That was dope. I should have, and then it makes me want to, like, okay. And it's not like I'm in competition with that person, but it was just like, okay, motherfucker, that's what I needed.
With yourself, like, too, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, own that competitive, because that's not ego. That's and some, like, I think we, and especially in this day and age, we confuse confidence and ego a lot of times. Like,
right.
We're supposed to be confident in what we do. Yeah, so because somebody's got to believe in this shit before anybody else does. How do I do that?
Exactly.
Because, like, let's be real, to be an artist, it's like being a professional. It's like being a professional athlete. You got to be a little fucking crazy to basically say, I'm going to literally make something and say, let you guys tell me if it's good or not.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy, a little abnormal. Man. Like, especially in hip-hop, for us to be so rebellious and we don't give a fuck what nobody says, but everything we do is about what other people think. Like, you got to like my song, so other people have to think to like it. Yeah, you got to be a little bit out there.
right, man.
To really play to win, per se.
You're right.
So I don't know if you should see it as ego. I mean, I think that I've never seen you be egotistic at all. I've never seen arrogant in you. There is a level of confidence about you, but it's respected, in my opinion, and it should be, because let's be real, hip-hop is not for insecure people. It's just not what the culture is. I mean, and I sincerely dislike that passive aggressiveness that's been brought in by you know, new people that are coming into the culture. No, this was literally about, like, ironing sharpen iron. That's why, you know, Golden Era is so crazy lyric. That's how we got a Jay-Z. Like, imagine what this motherfucker had to deal with. The competition, this man challenged Nas openly.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to shake Nas' hand, not battle him. Like,
yeah. Gotta have some grit to be able to get to where you're at.
Right. But
and besides,
I think in that gym,
don't
kick
some ass and some beer pong. How about that? Well, besides that, I can see? Pretty good at beer pong.
I've never played beer pong a day in my life. That's crazy.
No way.
Honestly, I've never,
stop it.
Ever, never.
You need
I've
to
never,
do it, man.
Never.
It's fun
okay.
to.
I,
it doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't
well,
get old.
Here's, okay. In my defense, okay, like I'm open. I'm a college graduate. Shit, I got a master's degree. Like I'm a nerd on that level. I like learning shit. But where I went to school, I'll say this. There were certain things that my unmelanated classmates did. They just, like, I'm just like, nah, this shit don't make no sense to me, man. Like, I'm in the fucking motherfuckers if I try to play any of these games with them. Like, so I think it was just that the environment didn't allow for it just because of the immaturity of the guys I went to school with.
Yep. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, no, I've never played it, and I'm not saying I won't. But yeah, I'm not playing. And you kind of, if you ever been to a college party or a frat party, you know what kind of weird shit goes on. Like, where I'm from, we fight over shit like that. So I just never put myself in that position.
Right. That makes sense. I'm just playing around, but I can't kick some ass with some beer.
So what's next, man? What's the next move, and like, where do you plan to go with it?
Man, my next move is to keep elevating this studio space. Hopefully, eventually, to be able to move into an even bigger space, and for myself to finish. Right now, I'm sitting on a lot of music, a lot of new music I'm real proud about. I'm about to release a new album with my homie, who I've made albums with in the past, and I'm about to release my first solo full album. So it's a lot going to be coming in the next few months. Thank you. Appreciate that. So after that, I'm just going to keep working on elevating that and try to get more out there, you know. Get some tours in line. And
you have a
end it.
You have a name or a release date for that project, that new project?
Not a release date, but I definitely got a name. The one with my homie is called Automatic. All of our music together has gone by Foreshadow, like X Allaire. We've been making music together forever now. Made two full albums already together. This will be our third. And then my first solo album is going to be called 20-something, and it's I'm pretty proud of it. It'll be pretty dope when it comes out finally. It's been a long time coming.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you need a place to premiere, you know you're more than welcome. Just let me know.
Man.
I'll definitely get you on the schedule. And man, I'm looking forward to it. We got about 5 minutes left in the show, so I don't want us to go run out of time before you get to let people know where they can find you. Wait, shameless self promotion time, bro. Basically, it's that time of the show where you basically make it about you and only you, and go for it.
Yeah, I again, my name is Allaire. It's E L A I R. I'm pretty much everywhere. You can look it up on whatever streaming platform you on. You'll find it. All my tags on social media is @boy_Allaire, and boy is B-O-I. You'll find it everywhere you look. And my music studio is called New Wave. That's N-U-W-A-V, New Wave Studio. You can find that pretty much attached to all my accounts. So go check that out. Go check out my YouTube page. I got tons of videos on there between my page and my videographer's page. Been doing a lot of work trying to put our videos on his page as well, because it's like our most rising one. And we've been putting all of our studio takes on there to try to just elevate it as much as possible. And his studio, or his YouTube page, is called The Skinny Filmer. Or if you just go to my YouTube page and go to my playlist, you'll see all my music videos on one playlist right there. Go check out the Spotify. I got playlists of all of my music on there. Whatever you listen to, I'm around. I'm chilling.
What about you, man? What you got going on?
Allaire, thank you for your time. I say this every week to every artist, you know. Well, me and Jesse both know what it is, you know, of time being precious, you know, and that's one of the best things you can ever give somebody is your time, man. So thank you so much for giving us your time today, man. Appreciate
Absolutely,
you having me on.
Man. Thank you. I appreciate you having me
Hope
on.
Hope to have you on again sometime.
It's a bet. Let's make it happen. I enjoyed it. Thank you again.
Absolutely, man. And I'll say my final send-off before Jesse closes things out, and that is Have a good weekend, everybody, and please keep your hearts open and your radios up.
Yes, sir.
Well, on the way out, yeah, I want to thank you, Hilaire, for coming through and you know, shooting the breeze with us. And I hope people really take away the understanding that, especially in the artist world, that your mental health, you got to really, really, you know, take some pride in it and pamper it, because that's a make or break type thing. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's a subject that's almost taboo in a way for artists, because either you got the ones that want you to think they're crazy, or they don't want you to think they're crazy, which is a fucking icy world when you think about it. I'm just crazy that it's just that's literally how it works. I don't want people to think I'm crazy, or I want people to think I'm crazy. But we never really tap into those of us who are actually struggling with shit, because being an artist, the one thing you hear most is no. The biggest part of being an artist, especially when it matters to you, you hear rejection 98% of the time. So
yeah.
I appreciate you for bringing that topic to the table. And I hope that helps someone today. And that's what this show is about, like talking about those topics, especially as independent artists that just may give us that slight edge of, and it's, for me, it's more of, I don't want to see people get taken advantage of, you know, like, so, and that's a hard thing in this game, because that's 90% of the people in this game are really in it to profit off of your ambition.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you for that today, because that really, really matters. And please keep that up, and please stay being a spokesman for it, because it's a good lane for you, and it's a believable lane for you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
But
again,
on that
Jesse,
note,
like, you're a brother to me, and I'm always gonna support you and follow you and rock your shit, homie. So keep doing you.
I appreciate you. And that has been the No By No Radio Show. And you know me, I always say, put the quality before the quantity. Put the quality before the quantity. Let's say that so y'all don't think I'm illiterate. And that means put the bars over the bullshit. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in.
Later.